and all the time He's good. I thank God for all that He's doing, and I thank God that the calling of God are without repentance. Amen. How many of you know that? The callings of the Lord, see, they're without repentance. But God doesn't put a calling on a person's life and says, they messed up, I'm going to snuff that calling out. Let me tell you something. No, you get it right. Because, see, you still have that calling there, and somebody still needs you. I want to encourage you today to tap into the Lord, because there's nothing that you've done that's made Him hate on your guts. Amen? There's nothing that you haven't gone too far that God says, I don't love Him anymore. See, there's not a mistake that you've made big enough to where God's just going to back up from you and not love you anymore. I want to make every one of y'all realize that at the beginning of this message, because God is here, and one of the main things that the Lord does is He restores, Keisha. The book of Psalms, it says, He restores my soul. Why does He say that? Because look here, there's times, Aunt Patty, where the thing that needing restored is your soul. Amen? Why? Because we get willy-nilly. People get willy-nilly sometimes. We go through phases, we go through things, we go through trials, and we get willy-nilly, and God says, you know what, I love that person, and they need a soul restoration. And so I just am thankful to be here. How many of y'all thankful to be in the house? I'm thankful. We're coming up in the month of November. We're already here. And there's so much to be thankful for, and there's so much to give God the glory for, that you know what? If you don't think that He's done anything for you, I'm going to tell you, stop being ridiculous. Look here, if you woke up with breath in your lungs, God loves you. He's already loved you in that day. God is here for each and every single person. And like I said, if you ain't heard my preaching, look here, I just tell it like it is. Because I believe that we're living in the last days, and life is very short to be mealy-mouthing around. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Why? Because few are looking. Very few people are looking for that gate, because see, they ain't happy doing what they want to do. And let me tell you something, what I've seen in the ministry for years and years and years, when somebody's happy in their sin, you need to leave them alone. Because see, until you get miserable up in that sin, you don't want to make a change because you're still having a good time. Many pastors have worn themselves out dealing with folks that they ain't ready to change. Now, that's not a very popular view, because we all think, oh, pastors are on this unrealistic pedestal where they got to be Jesus Christ to everybody. I'm going to tell you at the very beginning of this message, I am not Jesus Christ. I am not somebody that's going to say I will never sin, because I will be the first person to tell you that I probably will. And I ain't going to shy away from that lie, because I'm a person. Amen. Don't put me up on that pedestal. I don't want to be there. Why? Because see, when you're on a pedestal, when you fall, it's very hard. It's a hard fall. I'm going to tell you to put God in that place. Put God in that place, see, where you're loving on Him, and you say, God, you're the only one that's never let me down. God, you're the only one that's loved on me unconditionally. When you can do that, you've got life in perspective. Let's go to Exodus chapter 34, verse 4. And we've got Moses, and he's chiseling out some more stones. God told him to. God said, hey, chisel out two more stones, Moses. Now, Moses was a different type of fellow, and it shows in the Bible where he had a temper at times. See, if you don't think you're going to get through life and lose your temper sometimes, you're crazy. No, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose your temper sometimes. Have you lost your temper this week? I have. I thank God for all the honest people that we've got living up in this church, because look here, you either being dishonest or you're just about holy. Holy as thou art. Sister Millie's probably the only one that ain't lost her temper. She loses it about once a decade. That's just how she is. And no, I did not inherit that. Now, did not inherit that gene. wonder what the heck. I didn't get a tan either. I'm about as light as I can be. I didn't get any Italian genetics.
Oh,
I didn't get any singing genetics. I did get the gift of gab, and thank the Lord for it.
Oh, yeah.
Look here, I can gab my way out of anything that's called a filibuster. I have filibustered my way through many things. Talk somebody to death if you want to really get them getting punished. What to do? So Exodus chapter 34 and verse 4, and it says, so Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first one and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. Look here. Don't kid yourself. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is still telling people things to do. That is called his daily bread. God has something for you to do every day. That's why we got to make those bad days less and less. Because when you're having a bad day, what are you going to do? Brother Jeremy tells this to me about all the time. He goes, Kelly, I'm about to show out. It's usually over him being hungry. You haven't seen somebody show out since you see him hungry. I try to keep him fed. Fed and water. You don't want to come up in between Jeremy and his. He gets hungry and that's the end of that day. Not good. Okay? But God is still telling people things to do. See, he still does that. And he'll tell you to the very detail. That's why it's important you can hear his voice. See, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger, they won't follow. Look here. I see it all the time. People get up in the middle of a mess, of a pig pen mess. Why? Because they were not. They were either doing one of two things. He said they weren't hearing his voice, or they were disobeying his voice. It's one of the two. It ain't nothing else. It's one of the two. See, we get ourselves in the middle of some stuff, and then we get miserable. Somebody wasn't listening to Jesus when he was telling them, don't date that person. Don't buy that car. It's going to blow up.
Glory to God.
Don't take that job. You ain't going to like it. Don't leave that job. That's still the place where I want you. See, people get up in the middle of some things because we don't want to listen to God, because at the end of the day, we still lack in our way. Our way gets us miserable every time. You ever get to a miserable point in your life and you say, why am I so miserable? Well, get that itinerary out of your life and you look at it and you look, I'm miserable because of my decision.
Yes,
oh my God. This is what people do. Jody, they go and they check their mail. They get that mail out. I got to pay for that every month. Man, when I bought that, I was on a high. I was either stressed by it or happy by it. We're just buying in general. Why do I talk about these things? These are real life issues. Do you ever walk up and you're like, oh, why did I do that? I have. I still do. I still do. Why? Because that's just a problem I have. But God's still telling people things to do.
Amen.
God's still waking you up every morning. And if you could put your ears back and you could learn to hear his voice, look here, Miss Dale, you know what he'll do? He'll tell you where to be at the right time. He'll tell you where not to be.
Amen. Yes, he will.
If you could see every time that the Lord saved your life from a catastrophe, you'd never want to go against God again. Why? Because he saves us all the time and he don't bring it up. You ever met somebody, they do one nice thing for you and they will bring that up from now till kingdom comes. I just want to say, man, I wish they'd have never done that to them. I'm sick of hearing about that one nice thing that they done for me 12 years ago, 13 days, 4 hours, and 2 seconds ago. I'm sick of hearing that. Look here. give and it shall be given. God will wake you up and he'll say, you know what, that person needs you to call them today. They're having a bad day. He'll put you right at Walmart for somebody you don't like. You'll bump buggies. He'll drop something into your spirit and he'll say, you got some unresolved issues with that person and you need to forgive. Yes. Why do I know he does that? Because he's done that with me. A couple months ago, I was in Walmart. And if you're anything like me, sometimes you know when you're having a bad day, you know when you can't behave. So you just stay in the parking lot. To avoid people that you don't want to see up in there. Now, why do I preach like this? Because this is how people live. You think I'm the only one standing in the parking lot? No. I ain't going to ask who does that. It is irrelevant. I'll just tell them myself. I do that sometimes. Anyways, there was a person up in Walmart. I was going down the milk aisle. Mama Brenda. I saw them, and it's been about 20 years. They didn't even do me wrong. They done my family wrong, and I ain't liked them ever since. When they done my family wrong, I was a little girl. Preach. Preach it. You ever heard of somebody's guts you didn't even know what? That's a family thing. In my family, we hate that person. I'm not saying my family hated them, but I sure did. I heard the stories about them, and I didn't like them. Period. I preach about this stuff because you know what? I want people to get free. I'll tell all my dirty stuff. I'll tell all my dirty deeds because at the end of the day, Keisha, I've learned how to just accept that I'm very flawed. I bumped into that person in the milk aisle. And all that old garbage come up at me. I thought, I don't like them still to this day. I'm not sure why I don't like them, but I don't like them. I went outside and I told my nephew, so-and-so's in Walmart. They look convinced, but why are they even over here at the Paris Walmart? I'd be real ugly about it. I said, Evan, when somebody messes you up, you just don't have nothing else to do with them. See, I was having a moment. Just having a moment. You ever said that? Oh, I'm never going to mess with that person again. I know that's true. You may not can admit that to yourself, but I promise you, you said that. God said, Kelly, I let you run into that person because I wanted you to realize that you need to forgive them. It's not that you, I want you to, it's that you need to.
Amen.
See, you need to if you want anything else to go good for you. You start to hate young folks and living in unforgiveness, that is a slippery slope. Why? Because probably 5 seconds after you have that hatred thought, you're going to have the thought, Lord, I really need you to step into my life and do such and such. And what does the Bible say? When you stand praying, if you have aught against anybody, leave the altar. Go to that person. Go to your brother. Go to your sister. Go to that person and make it right. Why? We are in constant need of forgiveness. And if you're in constant need of something, you better be in constant giving it. You got to give that forgiveness to get it. So Psalms 34, now who's hot in here? I need some of the deacons to fix that problem. If you get cold, I don't know what to tell you. I just try to make you happy. Psalms 34, verse 5, and it says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. What was Moses doing? See, God had told Moses to do something. And when Moses was doing it, what did God do? He came down and he stood with them. You need the Lord? You need him to move? I done told you that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Get up in the middle of doing that thing that he told you to do. Maybe you don't want to do it, but look here, go along with the program. Because your program ain't working real good without him. Get up in the middle, Sonia, of doing that thing God told you to do. What does God do? comes down in your life and you just stand right there with you, what is the one you're trying to do? Oh, trying to get her life together? I'm going to come down here and stand with her on that. I'm going to stand with her in that hard place. Look here. When life gets hard, people have a bad habit of leaving. You feel me? You get up in the middle of some things, Joe, and you think some people's with you, and then you turn around and ain't nobody there. That ever happened to you? Nothing to me. Well, Donnie, what do we do in those moments? Well, we get right up in the middle of what God tells us to do, and we just start looking for God. Because when you get up in the middle of doing what God told you to do, Keisha, he'll come down, he'll put his presence on something, he'll put his hand of favor on something, and he'll stand with you when nobody else would. He'll be there for you when nobody else would. He'll love you when nobody else did. Somebody, you know what? Everybody told her no. But you know what? I see the heart, and I'm going to tell her yes. See, we don't go by what we see. We go by what we know. And when you got your knower correct, you got your way, God's going to meet you in that place. Amen. So Moses is here, and he's doing what the Lord told him to do. And it says that the Lord came and he stood with him. And then the Lord did something pretty awesome. See, God knows who he is. God is not caught up in the middle of an identity crisis. You ever realize in certain parts of your life that you don't know who you are anymore? I have. Let me ask that question again. Let's just get some realness going on up in here. You ever get to parts of your life and you think, I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't know what I like. I don't know what I don't like. I don't know what I stand for. I don't know what I don't stand for. I'm just in a place, I just feel like, ugh. I don't know what's going on with myself. God is not caught up in the middle of an identity crisis. God knows who he is. And as long as he can get his kids to know who he is, he can move on the situation. And it says here that the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name. See, Jesus, the Lord, he was proclaiming his own name. See, when you come up in here and the praise and worship is going on, you got two choices. You're going to lift your hands and you're going to praise, or you're not. Let me tell you something about when you don't, you miss an opportunity. You missed an opportunity. Because look here, God will get praise if he had to have the rock to cry out every single day to praise him. Mary, he'd have the rocks come out to praise him. But let me tell you something, that ain't the rock's job, that's your job. When we get up in here, look here, I have heard it all in the past 3 months. I have heard it all. This song is too fast. I don't like that. No, I can't praise Jesus with fast songs. Okay, girl, up. I suppose it's going down a little bit. I can't praise Jesus with them slow songs. Okay. Girl, the people are simple. Let's go back to fast songs. I don't like that praise and worship because nobody's playing a musical instrument. Look here. It ain't about the song. It ain't about the music. It's about you. It's about you praising. Look here. I'll praise God up in the dollar store. I'll praise him in my bathroom. Yeah. I'll praise him on the corner. Yeah. Look here. You have to have conditions suited to praise God. Child, you ain't got it all together. Because look here. God says, you'll praise me in the middle of everything. You'll praise me in the grocery store. You'll praise me when you're on the toilet. You'll praise me in the worst part of your life. You'll praise me in the valley. You'll praise me on the mountain. God, because you love me, and you'll praise me no matter what. You up in a battle? Praise. Praise. My weapon is a melody. When Tom Taylor came up in here, Taylor don't mind that I shared this because I know Taylor since she was a baby bump.
Glory to God.
And I will give you an inkling. Taylor is the sweetest person I know. So when Taylor ain't happy, everybody's going to know.
Glory to God.
There's something about those sweet people like that. They ain't like me. Secure. Oh, pal, I'll give you the solid treatment note. Taylor, you're going to know. I went up there and said, girl, what is going on? I just can't get into this today. I just ain't feeling it. You ever had a day where you're just not feeling it?
Hallelujah.
I used to work for Taylor. Taylor used to work for me. I'm still trying to figure out why God wanted to punish her. Some things we'll never know.
Glory to God.
Amen. So we get up there, Jody. She starts singing, my weapon is a melody. My weapon is a melody. You know what I did? Look here. Sometimes you need to hear yourself. Say some things to yourself.
Yes.
Guess what we did? We sang that song about 10 times. Why, Brother DJ? So we can hear her say over and over, my weapon is humility. My weapon is humility. See, when the devil comes in like a flood, what does God do? See, he'll use your talent, and he'll get you up there, and he'll say, Kayla, I'm going to heal that brokenness. Right now, in the name of Jesus, you'll never be the same. And you'll get up there when you're not feeling it. And you'll get up there and you'll start singing. And all of a sudden, see, the power of God will come on you. See, well, here's what we like to do. We like to take our talents and we like to act like a mafia over them. Let me tell you something. If God gave you a voice to sing and you think that you're going to punish the pastor, by not singing. You think you're going to pull some shenanigans. Baby, it's you that's missing the privilege. I promise you that. Because look here. The power, the talent, all of that, it all goes without repentance. It all goes without repentance. But here's what God does. He gives you an opportunity to be used. It's a privilege. You get to sing up there, it's a privilege. Well, look up on Mary Pat. If you can sing, that's a privilege.
Thank you.
Those of you that ever stood by me in my seat, you know what I'm talking about. Another gene I didn't get. Rhythm or musical ability. None of that. But look here, my weapon is the melody. When she walked off of the stage that day, she done told the devil about 50 times. My weapon is a melody. Look here. If all we did, Kayla, was sing that song a million times that day, it was worth it. Why? Because the devil tries to get up in your head and make you, just as you ain't feeling it, just go on and have that full pity party bloodbath. Look here. You're going to come up in here, we're going to get that off of you. Why? Because God is who he says he is. God will be to you what he said he would be to you. So God was down here with Moses, and God started walking around, and God started telling everything what he was. See, that's our job. Our job is to be down here and telling everybody about what God is. Says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. See, a lot of us, we love on a condition. Our love for folks got conditions. If they acting right, if you're religious, here's what you say. They often sin, and when they often sin, I just don't want nothing to do with them because they're sinning. And you sounded like you think you're going to catch it. Let me tell you something, with an attitude like that, you probably will.
Amen.
You know, it's called religion. Religion. Here's God, and he's saying, man, I'm the God of grace. I'm the God of compassion. I'm the God that maintains love to thousands. Why? Because he knows we're down here and we're flaky. We ain't maintaining love to thousands. We got it going on if we're maintaining love to a couple of folks. Because, see, our love is very conditional. Very conditional. But, see, God was down here and he was walking up in front of Moses and he said, come, I'm the God of compassion. I'm the God of grace. Maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And I'm here today to tell you, if you ain't partook in those three things, you've never breathed one breath. You ain't never been wicked? Oh, I've been wicked. You ain't ever been rebellious? Woo! I need a few arms for that. I've been rebellious. I feel like rebelling. I feel like acting out. You ain't never taken a good sin vow. Look here. Keep it real with yourself. If you can't keep it real with anybody else, keep it real with yourself.
Amen.
Keep it real with yourself. Say, self, I've been wicked. Self, I've been rebellious, and self, I have sinned, and I probably liked it. That's called keeping it real. Let's go to Psalms chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. I'm preaching to you today about the goodness of God. If you've grown up and you thought that God's goodness had a limit, it doesn't. If you've heard that God's goodness is conditional, it isn't. God's goodness wants to chase you down. God's goodness wants to pour over you. Not because you deserve it, but because he wants to show you who he is. See, when you think somebody's mean and hating on you, I want to kind of say back, look here, God is not that. God is somebody that can understand you better than you understand yourself. When you've messed up for the millionth time and you're embarrassed because you feel dumb because you did it again, look here, God's right there and he's saying, well, look here, let's just pick up and let's begin again. You know, that is what he does. And so Psalms chapter 23 verses 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The older I get, what I realize is that in the past, I've given my enemies too much thought. Too much consideration. I've let it dictate too many things in my life. And ultimately, what I've let my enemy do is stand in between me and God answering prayers. See, God is a jealous God. God ain't wanting anything up in between you and him. He's jealous. So you got to keep your relationship with him well established and well maintained. Because when you don't, things start going wrong. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. My cup overflows. See, God wants to make your cup overflow. Not because you made every financial decision right. Not because you gave your kids enough cookies. Not because you did everything right. Not because you got in that relationship after he told you not to. See, God is not a conditional person. He's somebody that says, I'm going to do that because I love you unconditionally. I'm here for you, not on a condition, but for your lifetime. And then for eternity. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
Thank you, God.
It's a for sure thing. It's a for sure thing. Do you know where your home is? If you left out of here today, where are you going? What do you want your life to be like? Do you want to keep struggling? Do you want to keep being upset? Do you want that goodness invited into your life? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, God's house is not this church. Y'all looking at me like I got three heads. The church is not this building. The church is you. The church is you. The church is Dawn. The church is Larry. The church is Ted. See, you are the church. You are the church. That's why it's important for people to come to church. You see, when you're having a bad day, what do you want to do? You want to come to church and you want somebody to love on you and tell you it's going to be all right. Look here, when somebody else is having a bad day, that's what they want. That's what they want. Let's go to Psalms chapter 25, verse 4. And it says, show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Sometimes it's just a matter of we've cottoned on to some bad habits. If you're like me, you've been in church your whole life. You may have caught a little bit of cynicalness. Everybody's fine. No. God put a lot of people in my life to change that attitude that I once had. Why? Because sometimes, Kayla, I'm just not there. See, you can keep it real like that. God, these people keep it real. There's days where I'm like, God, I don't know if I'm making a difference. Look at me sitting right over there. Standing, and I'll be praying and worshiping, and I'm not feeling it, Melissa. I'm just a human. And I'll glance over there, and I'll see those two people raising their hands. And man, I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God says, get a hold of yourself. Right now, so you're having a flesh moment, and you're wanting to ponder on all the junk that you think is working and ain't working, and why isn't so-and-so here and hot. Jolly, look around. And people are praising God. What are you doing?
Well, I'm
having a faith on it. And I'm indulging you. Have watch because I'm rebellious.
Amen.
You know, say, worship me. In spirit and in truth. See, you worship him in those two things, in spirit. Man, lift your whole life up to him. When you don't have to be in this church to worship God.
Amen.
Man, I turn that radio on to Warren Dangle, and in my head, and that is me.
Amen.
I'm singing that. And it sounded great.
Amen.
And then I'll put my hands up. And then God will begin to speak. Before I know it, I'm a blubbering, crying mess. Why? Just because the goodness of God. Just because God, when I woke up that day, God decided he was going to mess with me today. He decided he was going to take another chance on me because he knows I'm flaky. He decided he was going to love me one more day. And see, that's for a lifetime. We get into these things, Brother Ernie. He'll love us for a lifetime. He'll provide for you, forgive you, nurture you, love on you, get you out of things for the long haul. The long haul. It's his goodness. surely goodness and love will follow me. See, goodness is following you. See, when you're looking behind you and you feel like everybody's left and they've let you down and you're discouraged, look behind you, because see, the goodness of God, it's all around you. It's behind you. It's in front of you. It's beside you. If God needs to come down, He'll come down and He'll walk in front of you like He walked in front of Moses, and He'll say, Kelly, this is a good for the 50th time, but I'm a God of grace and I'm a God of compassion.
Yes.
See, God has to walk in front of you like He did Moses. Sonia, He'll walk in front of you. He'll walk in front of that situation that wants to take you down. He'll walk in front of that relationship that looks like it's not going good. He'll walk in front of the marriage problem. He'll walk in front of the kid problem. He'll walk in front of the money problem. But see, when He's walking in front of some things, you better make sure you're doing what He told you to do. Let's go to Psalms chapter 27, verse 13. I am still confident of this. See, what are you confident in? I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. I'll see it. When it looks like you're not seeing it, stop paying attention to what everything looks like. Then we got to be able to say, look here, I'm confident that I'm going to see the goodness of God. Where is the goodness of God? In the land of the living. The land of the living. What does that mean? Sometimes you got to take yourself out of some dirt and get yourself among the living. See, you want to follow Jesus? Jesus probably wants to take you out of some surrounding things, some surrounding relationships. He wants to take you out of some things and put you in the land of the living. Why? Because see, up until that point, you ain't been living. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. Yes. And until we're living in that way, we've never really lived at all. See, if you haven't lived in Him, you don't know what life's all about. If you haven't moved in Him, you don't know what really moving is all about. Man, God's got a perfect timing. He'll wake you up in the morning and say, today's the day. He woke me up about 2 years ago, Bill, and he said, medical field for 13 years before I did this. And He woke me up that day and said, today is the day you're going to answer the call. I was planning on that. Today? It was not in the 5-year plan. Well, let me get my boss. She's going to help me figure out because she don't like that. I promise. He liked it. Look here. God liked it more.
Amen.
When God says it's time to get out, it's time to get out. When He says it's time to stay, it's time to stay. The thing is, people need to learn how to hear His voice. Because we got a lot of willy-nilliness going on. People don't know what to say. Can't turn the Facebook off long enough to hear what He's trying to tell you to do. Don't turn them Netflixes off. Look here, I know how fun it is to binge on all that stuff and to get on that Facebook. Man, I keep some people as friends just because where else am I going to get all that free entertainment? I mean, come on. None of this stuff is like juicy. I don't know who they're talking about, but I want to know. Did they tag anybody? I'm going to follow this trail. I'll call to them. You know so-and-so. What do you think they could be talking about? You get yourself in trouble with that. One time, they put Claudia in Facebook jail. This is what nosiness will get you. You know, Mommy's talking about this too, brother. They put him in Facebook jail. Well, this week, Pastor, I thought he was really in the clinker. And I said, you're going to let them sheep up in that jail. I want to make sure he's with David Thurso at the end of the night. That's his puppy. See, you can't get yourself into some things.
Glory to God.
I'm doing it. Okay. How did you get into that? The baseball trail. I mean, Lord. You're not Lord. You know I'm nosy. See, God's got a whole thing of goodness that He wants you to tap up into. He wants you to be confident. That surely, see, surely is good. Goodness is surely coming after me. So wait for the Lord and be strong and take heart and wait for God.
Yeah.
Wait for Him.
Hallelujah!
Wait for Him.
Thank you, God.
You ever realize you get up in the middle of something and you should not be in it because you jumped the gun?
Amen.
You've got to make a decision out of a knee-jerk reaction and now you regret it? Read the paper. Other people have that. Better yet, get on Facebook. You're going to see. Wait on God. Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up. See, God's got goodness for us, Miss Debbie, that He stored up just for us. He stored them up. Like when you go, I've been looking at the clearance aisle for my kids all summer. I've been getting the little toys and stuff that was on clearance. They'll never know the difference. And I've been storing them up for Christmas. Look here. God's got goodness and He's got it stored up. He's got as much of it as you need. He's got it stored up for you. So when you're living down here and you're brokenhearted, you're busted, in your finances, your suffering, in your health, what we have to realize is that, Timmy, we don't have to live that way. We just see the goodness of God is stored up for His kids. He doesn't have a lack. He doesn't have a short arm. And He doesn't have that love that says, now, they're not acting right. I'm not doing that for them. That's not how He operates. He said, you know what? They didn't act right. They did what I told them not to do. But I love them, and I'm going to turn everything around, and I'm going to make it good for those people because I know that they end this day, they love me. They love me, and they made a mistake. We like to overanalyze, and we like to act like we're Dr. Phil. Let me tell you, there will never be another Dr. Phil. Don't put too much thought of why people did what they did. Say this. They made a mistake. And that's not between me and them. See, John, we get into things. I get into stuff with people. And I just got to slow my jet because God will take care of it. Now, that is none of your business. Take it for what it is. It's a mistake that they made. And let me handle it. Too much overanalyzing on things why people do what they do. Look here. They don't even know why they've done what they do. They don't even know it. So take all that pressure off of yourself because you ain't going to figure it out if they don't know. They don't know. You never know stuff. You don't know why. You ain't got the foggiest clue why you done that. You're trying to figure that out. Asia, sometimes I'm like, whoa, why did I do that? Andy, there's things I still don't know why I did them. That's one of them moments. Let's go to Psalms chapter 84. We're going to look at verse 10 and 11. Better is one day in your court than a thousand anywhere else. Don't try to do life without God. It's not going to help you. It's going to mess you up. Do life with God. Do life with Him. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tent of the wicked. A lot of Christians worried about appearances. Worried about, now I don't want to greet the door, that's a silly job. Look here, that's the best job. That's the best job. Why? Because you're the first impression that people get at the church. You're the first impression that people get at God when they walk up in here. That's why I don't sit sour cookies at the door. For real? Well, you're my old self. You're going to leave negative Nancy in the pew. You're going to get positive Polly at the door. Right? Don't be so worried about being a doorkeeper. Don't be worried about small beginnings. Don't despise the days of small beginnings.
Right.
You've got to start somewhere. It's okay if you're starting small. God's going to make you big. That's what He does. Be faithful in the small things.
Amen.
Don't be all in it for the glam and the glitz. Look here. There's less glam and glitz than ever before. Roll your sleeves up, get in there, and have some grit. Amen? Last place for me, Psalms 119 and 68. And it says, you are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your way. God is good. What He does is good. Ask Him to teach you His ways, because His ways are high. His thoughts are high. Will you see into your feet this morning? I'm going to speak a blessing. If you want to receive the blessing, lift your hand. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, you see every hand up. And God, I thank you that you've met every need. God, I ask that you would bless every single person. God, bless them with the things that they've asked you for. But God, bless them with the things they don't even know that they have need of, God. I thank you for moving in their life. Lord, I thank you for supernatural abilities, God, beyond what they're capable of, Lord. Supernatural healing, supernatural health, supernatural finances. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're watching over them. God, you will not let the enemy take them from this life. God, before it's their time, God, I thank you that you've protected them, and God, that you've loved them, God, and that you've poured out your goodness, Lord, on them and their family, God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.